Live from Beyond the Beltway, this is Bruce Dumont with our weekly analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor in your window, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, professors, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight, featuring commentary by Greg Ballard, former two-term mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana, longtime Trump supporter, attorney Doug Heibendahl, and conservative commentator Stephanie Hitt. And our phone lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. And again, we have presented for many, many years on this program a balanced discussion between Republicans and Democrats and independents. But since this is one of the first shows of the Trump administration and we had such a robust results on election night, tonight we have an all-Republican show. But don't turn off if you are a Republican. I really want your assessment. But again, we'll bring back Democrats in the future. But again, the Republican story is a huge political story, what happened. And tonight we're going to talk about from people who are Republicans, whether they're happy with what's happened thus far. Is there buyer's remorse already? But again, 1-800-723-8289, give us a call. Doug Heibendahl, as I look at you, you have been a pro-Trump Republican going back to when Donald Trump came down the escalator. And you've been a guest on this program many, many times. So I would imagine that you are ecstatic. But is there any aspect of the Trump presidency in waiting or the selection of the cabinet that concerns you in any way?
Bruce, thanks for having me back. No, ecstatic is the right word. I am nothing if not ecstatic. It's morning in America again. And, you know, I was cautiously optimistic, but this election went much better than I think anyone dared to hope. But no, I mean, first of all, I trust Trump's judgment. I don't know how, you know, how many times he has to prove that. But no, I love the cabinet picks. I think he's got a great agenda. You know, he's made it cool to be a Republican again. You know, he's he did it before. He's going to make the country better again, great again, and he's revived the Republican Party.
Let's hear from other Republicans on the show. Greg Ballard, two-term mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana, under the Republican banner several years ago. What's your reaction to the Trump presidency and some of his appointments to the cabinet thus far?
Yeah, that I'm happy he's there. I think we sent a pretty strong signal in that last election. I did expect it. I was actually in Ireland a couple months ago. I got asked to speak about the presidential race over at the Kennedy Summer School in Ireland a couple months ago. So, and I told them people always underpoll Trump, and that his people are going to show up whether there's 10 feet of snow on the ground or not. And that's why I thought he would win this thing. And so I think what's happening right now though is, you know, some solid picks. And I always worry about this with President Trump is he pick some of these are picks are trolls or is he doing this for a reason? And I think he's trying to poke some at some people, but we'll see. I've always said that most criticism is based on speculation. People rarely report on what actually happens. They tend to get more press and more juice out of speculating what's going to happen within the next year. So I'd like to see how things play out first.
As the program unfolds this evening, we're going to go through some of the cabinet picks and give everybody an opportunity to pick them apart in a good or bad way. Stephanie Hitt, you've been carrying the Republican banners way back to John McCain days. How do you feel about the picks for the cabinet?
I am, for the most part, pretty excited. I think that look, I'm one of these people that says Washington needs to be shaken up. When I look at the criticisms from the left, they keep yelling the same old tripes about, oh, you've got to have certain kinds of qualifications and all of this. And that's All the people with those qualifications are what put this country in this mess. So I think a lot of people are ready to shake it up. I live literally on the edge of the Beltway. I can see the Beltway from my house. And I will tell you, the feeling, the excitement, nobody is afraid. Nobody is defensive about Trump. It is different than it was in 2016. In 2016, you had a lot of skeptics. There is not the skepticism in D.C. that you think that there was 8 years ago. People are excited. They're relieved. They're happy.
You live in Northern Virginia, which is just outside the Beltway, but your friends and neighbors, a lot of them work for the federal government. I mean, how have they reacted to what's been going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have a daughter that works in Congress. So, there are a lot of government employees here, but I would put it this way, Bruce, the sky is falling, Chicken Little stuff that we heard out of the Democrats leading up to this and all the horrors that would befall this country if Trump were reelected. All those people saying that live in my neighborhood. They live in my town. They live around Washington, D.C. Guess what? They're fine. It's all just verbiage. They're out. They're all back at the same old cocktail parties. The only thing they had to do different was take the Harris signs down. The sky did not fall. And they're all figuring out in their little worm ways how to find their next job.
Okay, Doug, a question to you is, 3 months from now, are we going to look at successful confirmations for all of those appointed to the cabinet? Or do you think there are some that are likely, maybe they were trolls, maybe they were sent up as tests of strength? Or do you think that this entire list is going to stand tall and be nominated and confirmed?
I don't think there's any reason to think that any of these picks will fail. And I don't even know what we mean by troll. I think that's just complete nonsense. These are all solid picks, well qualified. Will be a huge improvement. Bruce, you're going to get tired of all the winning.
Doug, let me interject here, because there are some people that may be hearing you for the first time this evening. There isn't anything that Donald Trump has ever done that you have criticized to my memory. And so my question is, can you acknowledge, even though you're not going to say it, can you acknowledge that there are people that really have questions about Matt Gaetz heading the Justice Department? And again, I'm going to let you respond to that. And I'm going to let our other guests respond as well, because not everybody is working on that. We do have to pause for a moment. 1-800-723-8029 from coast to coast and border to border. I'm Bruce Dumont.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows. But the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nia Hergaris with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. As parents, we want our children to grow up healthy and strong. That means helping teens take responsibility for their health as they become young adults. One way to do that is to make sure they have one-on-one time with their pediatrician. That helps them become comfortable talking about any health issue with their doctors and with you. So make sure to give your teen a voice. It's good for their health. For more on teen health, visit healthychildren.org.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kid knows it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back on Beyond the Beltway. And again, we're going to take a look at some of these Trump cabinet picks. And by the way, we should mention that anyone inside the Beltway in media, they are all shocked by this because they still don't know what happened on election night. They're clueless. Yeah. And the point is, every knock that they have to these people, it's gonna make them more powerful. So the big question is, for those Nikki Haley Republicans, and I know, Doug, you don't like any of them, but for the Nikki Haley Republicans who held their nose and voted for Donald Trump, they're probably not real happy with these choices. But you know what? They picked the wrong side and they lost. So they got to take what the emperor wants. So I want to go just put some of these people up. This is the first wave of Trump cabinet appointees.
Yeah.
You have Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. You have Pete Hegseth for Defense Secretary. You have Tulsi Gabbard as the Director of National Intelligence. You have Marco Rubio for Secretary of State. You've got John Ratcliffe for CIA. And you have Robert Kennedy Jr. For HHS. And you have Kristi Noem for Homeland Security Chief. So my question to you is, and this is going to go to Greg. Greg, is there anybody else on this list that you think is maybe going to be a stir and may not make it to the end? Or are the rest of these sufficiently establishment?
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, I every government executive goes through this when they do get elected. So I went through this process, and so I'm very familiar.
Right.
And I went through this process, if it comes back up, around to it. I interviewed you in the last time around for a particular position. You want to talk about that. But I do think that top pick there, I mean, every headline I'm getting right now in my newsfeed is saying it's the Republicans, particularly the Senate Republicans, that's saying is Matt Gaetz is in trouble. I mean, that's every headline that comes my way right now. So whether he is, I don't know. I mean, to be fair, he resigned from the House a couple days before that report was due, and now that report's not going to come out, at least through the House, but I'd be shocked if it didn't leak out anyway. I don't know what it says. I have no clue. But the way that was done, I think raises eyebrows to a lot of Senate Republicans.
Yeah.
So Stephanie, in your opinion, do members of the Senate who are in the confirming position, whether it's the Judiciary Committee or the full Senate, do they deserve to see the contents of this squashed House ethics investigation into Matt Gaetz? Yes or no?
I'm going to say, because I worry about precedent, no. It is a health ethics thing. These are reports that are never, ever provided after an investigation is closed, especially when someone is no longer a member. So I do believe strongly in protecting the president. What I think we're going to see is someone's going to leak it, and that's what's going to happen. I don't think they do. If they are so concerned, they can conduct their own investigation. They have an opportunity to question him, so they can do it themselves.
Doug, I want to get your response. Do you think that the results of this investigation should be made public to members of the Senate, not the public, not the general public, but the members who have to vote on his confirmation? What's wrong with them having the evidence that was compiled in that report? Why is that wrong?
Well, presumably they do background checks anyway, and he's been serving in Congress, and they can ask him whatever questions they want. But they're trying to Brett Kavanaugh this guy. I mean, come on, people, wake up. I mean, how many times, are people going to be played for fools? The Department of Justice looked at this and found that none of the witnesses were credible. Gaetz, of course, has categorically denied the entire thing. It's nonsense. But the Department of Justice, Biden's Department of Justice, looked at this and determined there was no case. And does anyone honestly believe that if they could have made any kind of a flimsy case, that they wouldn't have brought it against Matt Gaetz, the same corrupt Justice Department that repeatedly has tried to put Donald Trump in jail on ridiculous bogus charges? I mean, come on,
Greg, I want to get Greg's response. That's a very strong point, I think. Greg, what do you think about that?
Oh yeah,
again,
I mean,
even
the most ardent Trump hater had to see the timing of all these cases coming forward at the same time in election year. I mean, that was just so blatantly obvious. And I get all that. I understand all that. But the fact is the House has compiled some information. I think the senators are going to ask that information. And frankly, I think they're going to get it. Are they going to do anything with it? I don't know. But, you know, there's a difference between civil and criminal cases. Similarly might apply here.
Well, the speaker has said he doesn't want to release it. The speaker says that he's not going to release it. So,
well, there's lots of things nobody wants to release.
All right. Well, you know, I want to also say I think the situation with Matt Gaetz is part of the problem there is that Matt Gaetz has rubbed so many people the wrong way. I mean, how much of this is just personal animosity? He's not beloved. Look, everyone is very happy with the Marco Rubio selection. People are very happy with the Ratcliffe selection. They are well-respected colleagues. But Matt Gaetz he's disliked all around. And that, I feel like that's going to be Matt Gaetz's problem is he doesn't have the collegial relationships. Remember, he led the coup against Kevin McCarthy. He doesn't have a lot of friends in Washington. And that may be, quote, the crime of Matt Gaetz.
Doug, your response to that he's not a team player. Go ahead.
Of course there's some people who don't like Matt Gaetz, you know, because he's taken on the corrupt status quo. So of course people from the corrupt status quo are going to try to destroy them. That's what they do. But you know what? He's got one big friend in Washington, and his name is Donald Trump, and he's going to be the president of the United States, and he has a right to choose his own cabinet. and he has confidence in Matt Gaetz. I mean, where was all this hand-wringing, all this pearl-clutching over Merrick Garland? The guy was like the weakest, most corrupt, never had managed anything. He'd only been a judge and a lawyer, really completely unqualified. Jeff Sessions, great on paper, but was a huge disappointment. Matt Gaetz has got energy. He's a fighter. And he's going to clean up his corrupt Department of Justice.
Right.
Okay. Greg Ballard, you had a comment?
No, I think Stephanie's point makes a lot of sense. Not a lot of friends there, and you need the friends to get the nomination. So they'll be coming to people, even, on our side. On our side, not the Democrat side, on our side. I think that
Stephanie, you said something that I want to follow up on that. You talked about Marco Rubio, who was the most, I guess, traditional appointee. But again, Marco Rubio represents a political philosophy, a foreign policy philosophy, that at least to me doesn't seem to be in sync with Donald Trump. I mean, it seems to me that Donald Trump could sit down with Tulsi Gabbard and find a lot more common sense and commonality than with Marco Rubio.
Well, Marco does. He does kind of represent that sort of more traditional Republican establishment arm in there. Yeah. And to be honest, I don't think that Trump was giving a bone to anyone by doing that. I do believe he genuinely, let's look at, I mean, Donald Trump is like just a real person. I think he genuinely likes Marco Rubio and he trusts him.
And so,
and Marco, I think Marco, he's obviously developed his own philosophies on foreign affairs and all of that. But he also is someone that I think can step back, work with Donald Trump. I think he's going to be persuasive if he believes he needs to be persuasive with Donald Trump.
Do you believe all this about Marco Rubio? Are you satisfied and excited about that pick?
Me?
Yeah.
Where does Rubio really diverge with Trump? I miss that. I mean, I know Rubio is very strong with Israel, just like Trump. And I don't think Rubio is some big warmonger at all. I think it's a very good. I heard Rubio recently, he was ambushed in the hall about the war in Gaza. And oh my gosh, he was great on standing up for Israel. I mean, I think Marco Rubio is another example of another Republican who was kind of weak-kneed, very timid, and this is another example of that's what a good leader does. Donald Trump makes other people better, and I think Marco Rubio is a great example of that.
Yeah, and they did. I think they're genuinely friends.
But you call them weak-kneed. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Well, I think what it is, what we have seen over these years and is that I might throw myself in this group is, Donald Trump has changed a lot of people's views about him, and he's acquired a lot
when
of
we come back, when, Stephanie, when we come back, we're going to let you follow up on that. We've got music to play and sponsor coming your way. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Pete Hegseth as the new Secretary of Defense and also Robert Kennedy Jr. at age 8S. Back shortly from Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us tonight.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. There are so many takes on the 2024 election, it's so little time. Over at Fox News, I've listed my top 10. Right now, I'll note just one, our national security. Americans know our national security is endangered by China, Russia, Iran, North Korea's axis of dictators, and we don't like the prospect of being number two or even being tied for number one. Peace through strength is the best option for the president-elect to follow, and to do so with a sweeping set of goals. The rapid expansion of our fleet, especially under the sea, should be a priority, along with the ongoing development of asymmetrical weapons and systems. The selection of Florida Congressman Green Beret Mike Waltz as the national security advisor and Pete Hegseth of the Secretary of Defense indicate the Trump team is serious. You're good men, and they are serious men. I hope all his senior appointees at DOD commit for the entire 4 years. The nation needs them. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kid
knows it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matthew.
Huh? Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pete Hegseth has been named the nominee for Secretary of Defense. The media has all in a Twitter about that. Recent charges that he may have been involved in some sexual activity, unwanted, but his lawyers have denied it. And my question to you, Stephanie, is where do these nominees who have charges against them by women, how should they be treated? Are they all cut from the same cloth, or are they all being sacrificed by the same smear job that the Democrats and the media love to get involved in?
You know, I sadly I feel like we're just, of course. No, we were waiting for one of these things to pop up. Here it is. Pete Hegseth. If you look into the details, that was investigated. There were no charges found, no charges filed. Now they're making a big deal that he paid, signed an NDA. Well, didn't we just go through the whole point of what's an NDA? Like somehow that's like a illegal or a cover up. It's not. And so, I think the American public is tired of it. And guess what? They're tired of it so much so that nobody, the Democrats were able to cover it up when it came up with Doug Emhoff. He had an NDA. I think that people, unless there is a proven allegation and this was investigated, people don't want to hear it. I don't know.
Do you agree with that? Greg, do you agree with that nobody wants to hear these stories?
Well, a few people want to hear about it. I kind of wish we were more European in our approach on this one, to be frankly, because they don't go nuts on this sort of thing very much, especially if it was 30 years ago, 20 years, like what they did with Kavanaugh. I think lots of people are kind of tired of this. I also think that most people are savvy enough that when somebody gets in a prominent position, I know this very well personally, they're going to come after you and make stuff up. And they're all in there, and whatever little thing might have happened became a big thing all of a sudden. So I think this is pretty common. I think most people can see through this right away. If there's something really there, then there's something really there. But I think Doug Emhoff is a good example. Something happened a long time ago. Yeah. And but people kind of dismissed it because it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Doug, a question to you. Do you think there's a couple of other big names that haven't found a spot yet? Do you, I mean, Tucker Carlson is one. your thoughts on some big name conservatives that have not yet been picked yet? Are they going to be picked, or have they been shunted aside?
Oh my gosh, I love Tucker Carlson, but
That's what I'm still, but I'm still thinking right. All my brains are right in my head.
That's right.
Steve, what do I lose, Fritz? What do I do here? Let's do this. I'm just hitting buttons. No options. What should I do? Oh, well.
At least you're not pushing up again. That one was a video.
How about if I just do this and cut the picture? No, but I'm still upside down. Fritz, can you help me? This is what happens.
Bruce, we're on the air.
I know we're on the air, Fritz. I'm looking at myself on the air. I've never, in all these years, I've never been upside down.
Disconnect and reconnect.
Disconnect and reconnect. Okay. Well, I'm going to let everybody discuss something while I'm away.
We can talk about
Tucker. Yeah.
Tucker Carlson, I mean, is one of the big names that we haven't heard from yet. So I'll let you discuss that while I try to come back. Okay.
But don't you think?
But don't you think Tucker?
Just why would he give up what he has to go work in Washington, especially given how much he despises Washington? I think he likes being a confidant, maybe a friend, an influencer. He has the ear of Donald Trump. If I were Tucker, I'd be happy with what I have now, what I've got going now.
Well, I think there
are some big names that are just, you know, we're here, we're happy, we're going to feel free for a while. And we're going to enjoy that freedom, you know, to go out and, you know, speak our mind. And now we don't have to be afraid of censorship.
What happened? Doug, I want to ask you this question. Early on, one of those touted as a Secretary of State before Marco Rubio was selected was Rick Grenell, who used to be the head of DNI in the closing days of the first administration. I have not heard anything about him lately. Is he fallen off the wayside somewhere? Because he was always very helpful.
That's actually a very good question. I thought I heard something about him, but no, I'm not sure. I would imagine he'll have a role somewhere, but no, I couldn't speculate where it would be. But I'd forgotten about him. But no, that's another solid name for something.
Yeah, I thought that he would be certainly in the national security intelligence appointee, either CIA director or someone else. And again, you've got the at least Cash McCall as possible FBI director. That isn't named officially as yet, but is the FBI director a unique character that people maybe need to feel more comfortable with at the national level and at the popular vote level, Doug?
Yeah.
They need a very strong person. They need a very solid choice for FBI director. I'm not going to offer a name, but it's got to be not only a great lawyer, but also a great manager, because there is much cleaning up there to do. Absolutely. Yeah. Here's another conservative Republican name. How about Charlie Kirk? You know, I would actually give second only to Trump. I would say Charlie Kirk did more to win back the White House than anybody else in America. second only to Trump.
Yeah.
He did that guy did. We talk about an organizer. He did phenomenal work. And if you looked at brought in the young people, these college campuses.
We should also mention, because we want to talk about history as well, Charlie Kirk, once upon a time when no one knew who he was, and he was in high school in suburban Chicago, he was a regular guest, periodic guest, on Beyond the Beltway. And I gave
you
him
know
lots
what,
of
Bruce?
Exposure.
Bruce,
but you know
I was on
since
his,
he's been
I
famous.
Was on his first show. I was
really?
On his
Tell
first show.
Tell us more what you remember.
Yeah, I remember. I sat with him. He was very shy. I remember asking him if he was going to college. But his very first appearance, his first national appearance was on your show. And I sat on that panel with him. And I remember asking him, like, are you going to college? And he said, no, but he already had his business card all printed up.
Yeah.
And he's an Illinois, young Illinois man. And,
no, clearly when you met the man while he was in high school, you clearly know that he was going places, and he was probably on Beyond the Beltway, maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 times over a couple of years. And again, I just wish he would return his phone calls now.
Yeah, he was very sure
about
of
that?
Himself. He was very
calls.
Sure of himself.
Yes,
he had
was
a lot
very
of
sure.
confidence. He did have a lot of confidence, but I remember that.
But
and
now let's go back to the process of confirming these choices. Greg, I think a potential senator who has to vote against this nomination may be taking their political career and deep sixing it if they stand up to Trump. Do you think that's a concern, or is this going to be a good opportunity for Republicans in the House and the Senate to stand up to Donald Trump when they feel that he's done something wrong that maybe his constituents back home will think very highly of him? But again, he may be cutting his neck with the Trump administration.
That's a great question, and it may happen on occasionally. And I think, as we know, if somebody criticizes Trump, Trump comes back 10 times over. But I think this depends on an election cycle. It depends when their next election is in the Senate, because they're 6 years apart. And I know people who have Republicans have not been fond of Trump, but they weren't up for election. So if they're up for election in 2 years or 4 years, maybe they go after him a little bit, knowing that it'll probably be forgotten in two, 3 or 4 years. So I think they're playing that game a little bit, honestly.
It won't be forgotten by Trump, though.
Pardon? It won't be forgotten by Trump. That's correct. But, all politics are local, and, within the state that they live in, they will, they can mitigate that down the road with doing other things.
When we come back, we're going to limit our guests. Just 1 second, Doug, we've got to pause. When we come back, we'll let all of our guests introduce themselves. I was a segment late in doing that, and we will do that when we come back. I'm Bruce Dumont. This is Beyond the Beltway, 708-250-6844. And we mentioned that, what did I say? 1-800-723-8289. Hopefully, forget remembering that number. 1-800-723-8289. I'm Bruce Dumont, back shortly.
This is Dennis Prager. Sign up today for an unforgettable experience in Israel this October. Mike Gallagher and I are traveling to the Holy Land on the Stand with Israel tour with our trusted partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. This trip of a lifetime to Israel is one you don't want to miss. Register today before it's too late at StandWithIsraelTour.com, StandWithIsraelTour.com, or call 855-565-5519, 855-565-5519.
I think it's just vapor.
Vaping is safer than smoking, isn't it?
There's really not even that much nicotine in them, right?
One vape pod has as much nicotine as one pack of cigarettes.
My kid
knows it's dangerous.
5.4 million American kids vape, and most think it's harmless. Get your head out of the cloud. Talk to your kid about vaping. Visit talkaboutvaping.org. That's talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school? Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry. We're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We mentioned that Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA, who I think was instrumental in getting Donald Trump elected with his activities and his friendship with the president, that he was a regular guest on this program. But we should also mention that another regular guest on this program is the ambassador to Japan, and some Democrats want Rahm Emanuel to come back and take charge of the Democratic National Party. And Rahm was a frequent guest on this program for well over 5 years. So we may have a reunion of Beyond the Beltway guests when they were young and nobody knew what they were up to. Let's take a moment now to introduce or let them introduce themselves. Tell us a little bit about yourself, starting with you, Stephanie Hitt.
I'm Stephanie Hitt. I'm a Republican activist. I started out my activism when I lived in Illinois. Doing a lot of things, first serving as a delegate to McCain, getting involved. And in 22, I ran the U.S. Senate campaign in Illinois for Kathy Salvey. And then I have since relocated to Northern Virginia, where I'm originally from. And I continue my activism. And I can't wait to attend every inauguration event possible.
Okay. Greg Ballard joins us. Greg, go ahead. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Bruce. Native of Indianapolis, grew up here, went to Indiana University, spent 23 years in the Marine Corps, Gulf War veteran back in 1991. Got out in 2001 after a wonderful career, and 6 years later, they elected me mayor of Indianapolis, Republican in a blue city, Republican and Democratic city, of which there are very few across the country. So I think I have a little bit of different insight, different way of looking at things than maybe a lot of people do. So I get asked to do a lot of panels and things, and it's really a lot of fun, frankly.
Doug Ibendahl.
I'm a Chicago attorney for just about 30 years. And before that, I was I worked for the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. I'm a and also I'm also a gentleman farmer. I grew up on a fourth generation family farm in Southern Illinois, and lifelong Republican, and needless to say, a big Trump supporter.
Greg Ballard, I want to go back to you because, you know, we're talking about the controversial appointees to the cabinet. That's going to dominate news for quite some time. But what about some of the issues that were brought up in this campaign? I'm thinking about illegal immigration. Tom Homan, who I think is one of the best picks to head, to be the czar of immigration. I think he's going to be terrific. I'm not so sure about what Kristi Noem brings to the table, but I certainly know that Tom Homan brings a lot to the table. My question to you is immigration for Republicans and abortion for Democrats. Where are those issues going to go in the next 4 years, do you believe?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm always reminded by something that Thomas Jefferson said a long time ago, that we need to, I'm not sure he used the word revolution, but certainly shake up the government every 20 or 30 years. And we don't do that enough, frankly, at the federal level. So I think we're going to see that here in the next 4 years, which I think will be fun to watch. On the immigration thing, no one ever talks about this, but I think one of the greatest political moves in the last 20 to 30 years was Governor Abbott sending all those illegal immigrants to New York and to Chicago and to San Francisco and places like that. I thought that really, really brought it home to a lot of people. Yeah. And no one ever talks about that for some reason. But those cities had to put out enormous dollars to handle all that. And of course, they complained, which is, again, we're all kind of laughing all our way through that when they finally have to handle this sort of thing also. So I think that's completely underrated by Governor Abbott. I thought that was a brilliant move. So
he's quite a remarkable political figure.
So I don't know what this deportation thing is going to look like. I'm anxious to see what that is. And, I just don't know how to carry that out, to be frank, but there's so many now. I remember back, it seemed to be, 15 years ago, we thought we had 11 million and it seemed like we had 11, 12 million in the last year or something. I mean, it's just for the last few years. Yep. So I don't know, how all that's going to work out. We'll have to see what really happens, but something has to be dealt with. I think it was a winning issue for the Republicans big time, here during this election because so many people around the country felt it. And once those buses started showing up in New York and in LA and San Francisco and those places, then the whole country started paying attention.
I think also what you have to do is you've got to give a big attaboy or pat on the head to Fox News, because Fox News, I mean, every single day they were reporting from the border. Bill Helusian was their reporter. I mean, he was absolutely terrific. He brought the issue home when other networks wouldn't even touch it. He made it the issue that it became. He knew what to do with it. And again, Stephanie, we got a minute to go, but what's going to happen with the abortion issue?
I think that it's going to start settling down. I really do. States, it's going to play out the way it's intended, and that states are going to, they decide on their own what their laws are going to be. I think that, in the next 4 years, people are going to see that if they want that right, they're going to be able to get it, that all this scare tactics about women being turned into handmaid tail ladies will be proven wrong. And I think in 4 years, it's going to be, it's just not going to be the same issue. It's not going to be the hot button. I think the Dobbs decisions will start working itself out in the states. I do not see a federal movement at all to address this.
Well, again, that'll be one of the big things we talk about, because if you looked at the Democratic Party this time, you would have thought that's the only issue that was important. And they hammered that thing home, and they hammered it into the ground.
It wasn't.
We're going to pause. Our guests will all be back for hour number two. Hopefully you will as well. I'm Bruce Dumont. This is Beyond the Beltway, live from Chicago. Chris Vermont back for hour number two of Beyond the Beltway. Let me get myself centered a little bit. And we're talking with Greg Ballard. He is the two-term former governor of Indianapolis, Indiana. Stephanie Hitt joins us. She's been a conservative commentator for quite some time. Also a regular guest on this program, as was or is Doug Ibendahl, whose great claim to fame is that he was here years ago. He was singing the praises of Donald Trump on and on and on. And look what happened. Donald Trump got elected president twice. And again, I remember how vehement you were. So, Doug, I like to give credit where credit is due for those who are big Trump fans. And also a question to you, Greg. You're a lieutenant colonel in the United States Marine Corps. And one of the concerns about a appointee as defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, from Fox News, is that he may not have the right credentials to be the defense secretary, and yet he is a decorated Marine as well. I believe he's a Marine. And my question to you is, where does Pete Hegseth sit insofar as his qualifications to be the Secretary of Defense?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would suggest that his service in the Army doesn't necessarily qualify for him. That people are using that quite a bit, and he does know that level, which is fine. But one, he's a Princeton grad, if I'm not mistaken, and the other part is that I'm not a big fan of media people coming into administrations. But one thing I do know about media people, both local and national, they're very smart. They know a wide range of areas. The only thing I'm a little worried about is being able to manage at that level with that many employees, and because that's a different thing than managing at a lower level. And so I hope he can catch on to that. Like I say, he's a smart guy, so I hope he can catch on to that level of leadership.
If he does, he'll be just fine. Greg, in those positions, though, isn't there an appointment of a deputy director for basically every agency? So you can put someone who is a real, nuts and bolts administrator into all these positions. So it gives an opportunity for those with less credentials, like Matt Gaetz, like Pete Hegseth, to run the show and to be the show. But again, the nuts and bolts of running their departments will be handled by others. Is that not?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. And just my, like I did on my level also. But those appointees are there to set the direction. And he has to be able to do that and bring people along with him. He'll have some learning curves, not much question about that. But as long as he listens well and understands what his boss wants him to do, I think he'll match those two together, and hopefully he'll be just fine.
Do you like that choice, Stephanie?
I do. I do have, it's interesting, I have a daughter who serves. And, we've been talking back and forth and kind of getting her opinion on it. I think that, one of the things people don't, if you don't know Pete Hegseth, you don't realize how much off air time he has spent with the military, with veterans, researching history, books. He's put out his philosophy on what he envisions would strengthen the U.S. military. He's quite a philosopher in that way.
Doesn't believe that women should serve in the military. Do you agree with combat?
That is a concern. I do believe, what does that mean? I think that, we made the decision in 2016 that women could serve in combat roles. I know that when you hear that, a lot of people address this idea of, do we want to see our mothers, daughters, sisters, wives, on the front lines? I think the real issue should be couched in a better way. And that is for combat roles where you have to have a certain standard met of behavior, of competency, of physicality, of lethality. I think
you don't think we have that now.
You don't want You don't want those requirements lowered. You don't want those standards lowered. And I think there's a sense that in order to put women in combat roles, those standards have been lowered. My belief is it shouldn't be that women don't serve. It should be the standards are high, and anyone who doesn't meet those standards doesn't serve in combat. But so it's going to be an issue. There is, for women in the military, for junior officers that are working their way up, combat operational experience is critical if you plan on being a career officer. And if you want to lead, I have a concern that you would take that away from qualified women who really do want to serve in this way. So I'm not the first person to say
does this
women
reinforce,
serve,
though,
but I think it should be couched differently.
Stephanie, does this reinforce, what a lot of people think is that Donald Trump has problems with women?
No, I don't think so. Look at his cabinet. Look who he has surrounded himself with. I just don't buy. And I think America, I'm going to say this, with that landslide vote, people didn't buy that story about Donald Trump. And what did he do?
Okay.
Chief of staff, first press, press secretary, Kayleigh McEnerney. I mean, well, she wasn't the first, but the point is I don't think he cares about your gender. He picks the best qualified people.
Greg, did
Bruce,
you have a comment?
I know you're playing. Bruce, I know you're playing devil's advocate because I know better. Donald Trump's whole record going back when he was in business was not only hiring women, but typically paying them more than the men. He just picked the first female chief of staff in history. I mean, come on. Now, as far as Hegseth, I defer to Greg the Marine. I mean, his insight on this is more valuable than anything I would say. But
I want to make one other comment. Because one of the things it wasn't a big story, but there was a story that, Melania Trump is going to not spend much time at the White House. She's going to be back in Mar-a-Lago. And that bothers me. As a human being, as someone who's, past 79 years old, it's nice to have your wife around. And the fact that he's not going to be, with, they're not going to be
that,
with
though.
Each other.
I haven't heard that. Do we know that's true?
She's not going to live in the White House. She's going to be living at Mar-a-Lago. And I'm just saying is that he has paid a huge price to be president of the United
Bruce,
States.
I haven't heard that.
And I just think,
Bruce, I haven't even heard that.
Yeah.
Who's saying
old
that?
Old men need hugs. Old men
but
need
she paid
hugs.
A price. She paid a price for first.
He did pay
she
a price.
Was so maligned.
We got to pause. We got callers coming up. Max Shirley from Chicago.
As a local business owner, you get called every week by marketing companies. We get it. We have hundreds of satisfied customers. Here's what a satisfied client recently said.
Open enrollment is going great. We're hitting record numbers. Thank you so much for this report. It really is amazing to see how the marketing is really shaping our enrollment around the city.
If you're a local business and ready for the next step, visit surroundchicago.com right now. Our experts are ready to help you take your marketing to the next level. Visit surroundchicago.com today.
In the new video series, Fault Lines, Professor Vodi Bonkam examines the threat of woke social doctrine versus biblical justice.
The religion of anti-racism has no redemption. We have to be right about what God requires in this critical moment.
Discover the fault lines beneath today's cultural divide.
What God are you trying to appease?
Fault Lines, the 10-part video series and essential 6-part study guide. Available at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober.
Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago for Beyond the Beltway. And again, for those of you who are joining us now, you didn't hear me say at the beginning of the broadcast, this is a all-Republican show tonight. First one of the Trump administration. They won't all be all Republicans, but we figured that this would be a good time to have various stripes of Republicans on to talk about the new president and what they're hoping for and what they like or maybe they dislike about what's happening thus far, and we're taking calls. But again, I understand we have a caller from California, and she is a Democrat. She's a regular listener to this show. Joy, go ahead.
I first just wanted to say that as a lot of your guests predicted, there were going to be massive riots and cities burning by the Democrats after the Republicans won, and that has not happened.
Good.
The other thing I wanted to say was that I think that there's going to be a lot of consequences of Trump's election and his picks that a lot of his voters are not going to, I believe, will not be prepared for. And so okay. I think it will be interesting over the next 4 years to see how that comes out.
Now, Joy, let me ask you a question, okay? Because regular listeners and viewers to the show, they know you're not for Donald Trump. So my question to you is, as someone who is in a part of the opposition. And not just recently, how are you going to deal with the fact that the President of the United States and the United States Senate and the United States House are all going to be controlled by Republicans? How are you going to deal with that on a daily basis?
I live in California, so, you know, still have a Democratic state, so that makes it easier for me. On a personal basis, I'm going to stay involved with like Meals on Wheels, the other things that I do that help me feel like I'm reaching out to people. And I'm also going to, I think, see, I go to a progressive church, and I want to see what actions that we might want to take. And it may be, you know, walking with immigrants who have been following all the rules the last 15 years. You know, is there something we can do to help on that basis? Or it may be
Joy, let me ask you this question. You mentioned immigrants.
Yes.
The voters overwhelmingly supported what Donald Trump has been saying about illegal immigration and how it's destroying the country. As a Democrat from California, how do you feel about the issue? Is it a real issue? And how can it be solved?
I think it is an issue, but I just, the language that he used to cover, you know, the idea of the undocumented immigrants was just abhorrent to me. And I feel like this is one of the areas where I think people will be surprised. I think we need a more complete solution coming through the legislation. But I, you know, I heard a call to this person, Lars Larson, who's both local in the Northwest and national.
Yes.
And an orchard farmer. He says, I can't get, you know, your everyday American person to come and work on my farms. And I have migrants coming in. So maybe it's, you know, working on expanding the work permit so that people can come in and work and go back. I've, you know, the people I know in Guatemala, and I've been there four times, they'd like to stay in their country. And so
hang on, Joy, just a second. I want to ask Greg Ballard, who is two-term mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana. He hangs around with a lot of Republicans, I'm sure. Business people, I'm sure, as well. Greg, what is going to be the position on this massive immigration? Because is this going to be something that the business community is going to call Donald Trump and say, hold it, stand by, you're going too fast, and you're not taking into consideration that we in the business community, we need more people to work than we have at the moment. And that immigration is something that we like.
I don't think it's going to be on that level. I'm not sure. The agricultural in California is a little bit different than here in Indiana, which is very agricultural also. But we have a lot of immigrants in the construction community also. And they're very prominent, actually.
Right.
And they do a wonderful job, and people hire them all the time. But I tend to believe that they're more of a legal status than the other way. So I don't think it's going to have much impact in places like here and others around the country that they're having out there in California. But I don't think there's any question that you know, people were kind of fed up with what was going on. And I think that the president, and Joy, you're talking about going after them in some fashion. But I really think initially, unless I'm reading this wrong, that he's really going to go after those who have committed crimes, especially violent crimes. And I think he's going to go after them very fast. And I think you can see that all over Tom Holman's face.
Okay, go ahead, Doug Ibendahl, your comment.
I'm just going to say, if someone is not in our country legally, they cannot work legally. So I don't want to hear the, you know, the whining from these employers who are basically admitting that they're violating the law. But let's also not forget, the United States of America is the most generous country in the world by far when it comes to immigration. We allow we admit about 1 million people here to this country legally. That is by far more than any other country, probably more than most of them combined. And that's going to continue. We're talking about illegal immigration here. But to show you the scope of the problem here, in Chicago, the Little Village neighborhood of Chicago is the most Hispanic, Latino concentration in the city, that neighborhood. It doubled its vote for Donald Trump this election. It's this illegal immigration. It hurts the It hurts the people who follow the rules the most. And that's why so many Hispanic voters have come over to Donald Trump, because they're being the ones hurt by these greedy companies. And Joy, I agree with you. You know, one thing, you've got some agreement here. I'm sure we do. Absolutely. More work permits. But again, that's the legal way. That's the legal way. Where's the HB1 permit or a work permit to be here temporarily? Absolutely. That's the legal way. Let's follow the law. Joy, you are going to get, stay tuned. You are going to rest up, because you are going to get tired of all the winning for this country.
Joy.
You know, well, yeah, I just, you know, there's a lot of people that I know who are, they're scared. I mean, they're, you know, I have friends who are transgender. I have mothers of transgender children and or adult children, and they're scared for their children. You know, I know in Idaho or other places.
What do you say to them? What do they think is going to happen? I mean,
well,
there was an election,
but there was an
election, and one side made a big deal over transgender issues. It was the Democrats.
It was,
and Joy, they
no,
lost.
They, no, no.
Yes, they did.
No, I mean, well, there. It, I mean, transgender people have been around in the society for a long time. It was the right who brought it up. It wasn't the
the right by bringing it up. Let me just finish. The right by bringing it up said that they did not believe that transgender issues should be worked on by government. That government funds should not be used for transgender issues or giving changes in sex to prisoners. Those issues, which became synonymous with Kamala Harris, and that's one of the reasons why she lost, because the overwhelming number of people in the United States don't care about transgender issues. I don't think they want to harm trans issues. They just don't care about the
issue.
And that's why you guys lost.
They don't want kids going on surgery.
They don't want kids, and they don't want...
No, it's been so exaggerated. For example, you talk about the athletes. I read that there's maybe 40 trans athletes among 500,000 college athletes. I think, again, I've heard so many people on the right talk about them as being freaks. We had drive-by shootings in the area where I go to church, which is an LGBTQ area. And we had a lot of... So...
Okay. Joy, you've got your quarter's worth. Thanks for calling tonight. We'll talk to you next week. 1-800-723-8289. A couple of more segments to go tonight on Beyond the Beltway.
In the new video series, Fault Lines, Professor Vodi Bonkam examines the threat of woke social doctrine versus biblical justice.
The religion of anti-racism has no redemption. We have to be right about what God requires in this critical moment.
Discover the fault lines beneath today's cultural divide.
What God are you trying to appease?
Fault Lines, the 10-part video series and essential 6-part study guide, available at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman.
In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball!
Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and Ad Council.
Tonight, we continue with an all-Republican panel in honor of our president-elect, Donald Trump, this evening. We will return to our regular format next week, where we'll have Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and who knows what joining our discussion. Doug Ivanhoe, you wanted to make a comment during the break. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say one thing we haven't hit on yet is the with this joint effort that Trump has given to Elon Musk and Vivek Vivaswamy, they're going to be running the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. DOGE. That is huge. That ties in with what we were talking about before about all these cabinet picks. You know, Trump's got to have people in there. They're going to cooperate with that because they're going to be making cuts. And and by the way, all these cabinet picks are going to get in because we didn't mention, you know, the new Senate leader. John Thune has already said he's going to allow recess appointments. So they're all going to get in. They're all going to get in. There may be some jealous, you know, Republicans in the Senate who'll kick and scream, but they're all going to get in. I'll bet another $5 on that.
Greg Ballard, what do you think of John Thune? Let's talk a little bit about John Thune, the new Senate majority leader. Your reaction to Senator Thune?
I don't know him. I only know what I've read about him, but he seems to be a rational, practical person, but I do notice that he was not, at least from what I understand, he was not President Trump's pick. I think he wanted Rick Scott. So we'll have to see how he reacts to it. I'm not talking about, what Doug was talking about. I'm not sure the recess appointments are a good thing. I think that's an end around and you're supposed to be used for emergencies, not for routine business. So I'm a regular process guy. I like there's a reason for the checks and balances, and I think we need to follow those as best as possible.
Well, I think McConnell was actually fairly effective. Not because even when Trump was there, especially with the Supreme Court nominations. When you are running the Senate, there are certain skills the leader has to have. They have to be able to pull people together. They have to help raise money, help do funds. They've got to be able to help people position themselves I mean, there's a lot of orchestrating that goes on in that job. And say what you will about McConnell, he was pretty good at that. You know, it's like herding cats, right? And I think Dune will have
Stephanie,
that
when
same.
When you do this, Stephanie, listen to this. When you do, I agree with your comments here. But a question would be is, if John Thune is the new leader here, we should mention right. something that Greg alluded to, and that is he wasn't the first choice, allegedly, of the Trump administration. Allegedly, that was Rick Scott.
I think that's a,
who was the first to go.
It is allegedly,
so it seems,
but,
it
you
seems
know.
To me. Well, it seems to me that a lot of Senate Republicans decided in this in the secret ballot they had that this they were going to send a signal to the Trump White House that they aren't going to be a rubber stamp, because I mean the fact that Rick Scott was the first to go in the balloting secret balloting
I think
is an important issue.
Americans don't see all the behind the scenes. The fact is that for years, Rick Scott actually did not enamor himself to his colleagues very well. He did not do a great job running the Senate committee. And, and I think that people saw in him someone who wasn't able to rally the troops. He's not able to herd the cats. And, I thought it was smart that Trump officially stayed out of it. And, it is a different kind of body. It's a different kind of collegiality. The fact that Dune, you know, even from the get-go, had more than half of the Republicans voting for him on the first round says that. I think that
I want to go to Greg.
It requires a different
Doug
kind of management.
Just a second. Doug, you made a comment, but Doug, you challenged some of the things that Stephanie has to say.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with Stephanie that Mitch McConnell did a fine job shepherding judicial appointments through, but I would totally disagree on the job that he did as Senate. He became a bitter, jealous old man. We probably lost the Republicans. Well. We probably gave up two more Senate seats because he was wasting money on some rhino in Maryland. He ended up losing by 8 points, and we lost what's her face in Arizona. No, he did a horrible job.
Yeah, well,
you also lost
Georgia Senate seats last time around because of Donald Trump. So again, he has as much complicity in losing that as possible. But again, here's my question to you though: is what does it say about John Thune? Is that in a secret ballot, John Thune did pretty well, and maybe he will be a good leader, and maybe it is a good signal to the body politic that the Senate Republicans are going to be an independent body that may not always agree with Donald Trump. Is, in your view, is that good or bad? Greg Ballard, is that good or bad?
I think it's great. I think it's good. I like I say, the checks and balances have served us well for almost 250 years, and I'm okay with it. It's going to be fine. Trump is going to get almost everything he wants. Clearly, certainly in the first year or so. But I think the Senate, just like every other organization in the world, government organization in the world, they're going to stand on their home and say, hey, look at me. I've got a say in this also. So I think you might see some of that early on, but I think ultimately President Trump's going to get most of what he wants.
I agree with that. This is not going to be like the first 2 years when Trump got in 2016. We had Paul Ryan mucking up the works of the House. This is not going to be like that. America knows now. People see now that Trump is a man who keeps his promises and he fights. There's a man who was shot in the face and then comes back and wins one of the most historic elections in the history. Historic comeback. These senators have better get their act together, because that's what America expects. That's what they voted for.
Yeah,
definitely.
Also, they see. I mean, there is a mandate. I mean, we've got the House, the Senate, the popular vote, the electoral vote, whatever. These senators realize that their voters are also Trump voters. They made it clear what they wanted. I think you are going to see a lot more cooperation in the future. It doesn't mean that there won't still be the difficult ones or two. You know, that's why you wanted to get 53 or 54. So you don't have to depend on those. But I think I believe we're going to see a level of cooperation that we haven't seen before. People, establishment, traditional Republicans are not going to fight against Donald Trump. They're not going to be embarrassed about pursuing the same agenda because their voters spoke. I think this is something we haven't seen in a long time.
This is going to be so much fun.
Greg, do you believe agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I remember back in 16, I went up to Trump Tower to be interviewed, and I thought I'd be talking on, you know, transportation or defense or some of the things that I was known for as the mayor. But KT McFarland came into the room as I was being interviewed and took me to the side and said, "We want you to be the ambassador to Panama or Kuwait. Choose which one you want." And I won't go into all the detail of what I told her at that point in time. And, two days later, I emailed back and said, Panama. And I was told by somebody used to work for me, but it was now in the White House because of Pence, said, "You're going to be announced in June of 17 to be the ambassador to Panama." Well, that never happened. And it just went on and on and on because they were not ready to go. The administration at that time was not ready to go. Yeah. It was kind of discombobulated. It's not like that today. I think they're ready to go now, and I think they're getting their
Let me ask you this, because you have stated that you were sweet talked once in 2016, and your credentials were looked at, and something was promised that didn't happen to you. But as we look at the body politic right now, would you be interested in joining the Trump administration in some capacity that has not yet been filled?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure they'd want me at this point in time. I'm becoming a little bit old, a little long in the tooth here. It's kind of funny. I had a new senator from Indiana. I was talking to him this past week, and I joked that that happened. And I'm not angry about it. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know what new administrations look like, so I'm not angry or anything at all. But he says, he joked that maybe I'll be the ambassador to Zimbabwe. I said, well, I almost was Panama. So, and he kind of was a little taken aback by that. But I don't think they're coming my way. But I remember when I got into office, people came out of the woodwork to help me. And that's what I was trying to do. I wanted to help. And I'm just a service guy. I don't like the politics too much, but I'm just a servant. And if they wanted me to do something in that capacity, I'd look at it.
Yeah.
So if you get a knock on your door, you're going to answer, or a phone call.
It's unlikely. They might, you know, got a new governor of Indiana. It's
probably never more likely he might ask. Just do me one favor. If you get appointed to something, please agree that you're going to do Beyond the Beltway once in a while.
Yeah,
sure. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I'm going to get these promises up front from some of these people that have
That's right.
been on the program. We've got one more segment to go, 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you want to offer your thoughts or comments on the many nominees or potential nominees to serve in the Trump cabinet, give me a call, 1-800-723-8289. Is there anyone that you absolutely would vote against? Let's hear from you. Back shortly. I'm Bruce Dubois.
Matthew.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
All the talks we've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks. I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thanks, Mom, for never giving up and always being my biggest fan.
Thank you for letting me know what you expect, so I can try to meet your expectations.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Bruce Dumont back, and this is Beyond the Beltway, and Greg Ballard, two-term mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana, joins us tonight, and you have a book out about your life, and it is called, go ahead, plug it.
Urban Republican Mayor, My Story. Because it's a unique story.
Because there were not many.
Autobiographical, and also what we did in office as the Republican mayor in a Democratic city, because it's so rare. And frankly, the party would do well to look at those things and try to understand urban residents a little bit more.
We talked about this off the air, but would you consider moving to another city that needs a Republican mayor like Chicago?
Probably not at this point in my life. I mean, as tempting as that might be, you still got to. Part of the reason I think I won was I was an Indianapolis boy. I mean, it's not that the whole world knew me when I got elected, but I certainly had Indianapolis roots, and plus the Marine Corps played heavily, as it always does in Indiana. So I think that was a combination of things.
Okay, because we could have either supported you or denounced you. There isn't much of a Republican Party in Illinois. So anyway, but again, my question to you, as we look ahead, is there an issue that the Republicans have not yet spoken about, or it wasn't one of the major issues in the campaign, that you think could be propelled to be a first legislative victory for this Republican Party? Stephanie, let me ask you this question.
Well, it wasn't really, it certainly wasn't one discussed a lot. I think the first legislative effort will involve proof of citizenship and voter ID for federal elections. I think that's going to be in one of the first bills that was hinted at. It's hinted at some of these budget bills that are coming up. I think with the, you know, the across the board majority, it might be the only time Republicans will be able to get that taken care of. I think that's going to be really important. It's got to be done in a way that can't be undone by the Democrats.
Doug, do you see any issue out there that could be brought together and moved forward with Republican majorities?
What I would love to see, and it was talked about only a little bit, I mean, Trump would bring it up in rallies typically, school choice, civil rights issue of the time. Huge winner. Not only the right thing to do, but great politics, liberate. I mean, we got to do something for these poor families in these that are trapped in these horrible inner city public schools where they're not getting good educations because of these greedy teachers unions. They are not coming out prepared to compete. They keep voting Democrat. It is a vicious cycle. Donald Trump is going to fix it.
Let me get Greg Ballard's answer to that same question. Is there a sleeper issue out there that really could galvanize the voters and be viewed as a big win by the Trump administration that isn't one of the two or three ones that we've discussed this evening?
Well, it's kind of tangential to what Doug said, actually, because the school choice, I would love to see this. And unfortunately, the first two issues, they seem to be kind of local state issues, even though federalizing that might be fun to do. And I'm a big school choice person, obviously. Mayor of Indianapolis has chartering authority, the only mayor in the country that has chartering authority. Probably still is the only mayor able to do that. But I think there is something in the cities that I really would like Republicans to look at. Looking at some of these that Doug mentioned, that some of these kids who are trapped in these circumstances, it's not just the school systems. I mean, it's kind of when they're born, they have no shot in life. And without going too deeply into this, I think there's probably policies that Republicans would look at that would do a lot. One, to help those kids become middle class or citizens or more than that. But also would engage urban communities at a level never seen before, which I think would guarantee elections for Republicans for decades.
And would that how would that play to Trump's pledge to abolish the Department of Education? Would that be sort of like the last straw? In other words, this is our farewell gift. We're going to end the department, but before we go, we're going to fix the damn thing. Situation.
Well, I don't, you know, to me, I'm wondering what the money is going to do if they do abolish that department. I'm wondering where the money is going to go. I don't think the philosophy or the ideology or all those things are going to matter that much, because I think that plays more in states than that does at the federal level. I do want to make sure that we continue to have high standards wherever we go, because I want to make sure that we still urge some kids to go to college, because there's almost too much of a push for kids not to go to college right now. So, and that equates to income level and quality of life.
Greg Ballard has been our guest. He is the two-term mayor of Indianapolis, Indiana. He's written a book about it, and he has shared with you his political thoughts this evening. Perhaps he's got a future that we'll share with on future shows. Stephanie Hitt is always a great guest here. Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. Doug Ottendahl, we thank you very much. Again, you waited a long time to celebrate. You celebrated once, but now you got to bring out the A stuff for this, and you'll give us a report on the big immigration inauguration. The inauguration, that's what we want to talk about. And Stephanie, you're going to go and you're going to report to us, right?
I'm going to go.
You're going to report.
That's right. I will fully report. I will bring, presents. All right.
You're going to bring me a souvenir?
That's my Trump gold bar candy.
I have an assignment for you. I want you to get to Charlie Kirk. Tell him what I said. Tell him I wish him great success. He's already had it. He doesn't need me anymore. Once upon a time, he did. Extra. I'm Bruce Dumont.
I was on the first.
Impossible. I'm Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago.